All right, listeners, ready for another deep dive? Today, we're going way back to the early days of the internet, back when Netscape Navigator was the top dog and downloading, well, let's just say it took a while. But hey, we're not here for a tech history lesson. We're digging into a legal case that just might make you think twice about clicking that little download button. You know the one.
This case is a real trip down memory lane, but it's surprisingly relevant even today. It set a precedent for how we think about online contracts in a world where we're constantly clicking.
I agree.
So you're saying there's more to clicking download than meets the eye. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Oh, absolutely. This case is all about Netscape Smart Download, a plugin that was supposed to make downloads faster. But the legal battle was about whether people actually agreed to Smart Download's license terms just by downloading it.
Okay, back then, did anyone even really think about license terms for a simple download? I mean, it was the Wild West of the internet. That's the million-dollar question, right? And the answer to that question has huge implications for how online contracts work, even now. So to understand why this case was such a big deal, we need to look at how Netscape handled agreements for its main browser communicator. Compared to this smart download plugin.
Okay, I'm with you so far, but now I'm curious. What was the difference? How did those agreements work?
With Communicator, you had what's called a click-wrap agreement.
Click-wrap? Sounds a little technical. What does that mean in plain English?
It's actually pretty simple. It's those boxes you check that say, I agree to the terms and conditions before you can install something. You have to actively click yes to the terms to move forward. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I've definitely clicked through my fair share of those. But you're saying Smart Download didn't have that?
Nope. With Smart Download, you just click download and boom, you were off to the races. No clicking yes to any terms.
So the question is, were those terms actually binding if you never explicitly agreed to them? That seems kind of sneaky.
Exactly. And that's the heart of the issue that the court grappled with in Specht v. Netscape Communications Court.
Specht v. Netscape. I'm writing that down.
This case really boils down to whether a reasonably prudent internet user would have understood that they were agreeing to some hidden terms just by downloading the plugin.
Reasonably prudent internet user.
That's an interesting standard. So what happened? Did the court think it was reasonable to expect people to scroll down and read through a whole legal document just to find those terms?
Well, the people who were suing Netscape argued that they never even saw any license terms at all. They were buried further down the page. But Netscape, they countered by saying, hey, the agreement was right there on the page. If you scrolled, you could find it. So shouldn't users be expected to scroll? I mean, it was all right there.
That's a tough one. On one hand, I get that companies want to protect themselves legally. But on the other hand, it does feel a little sneaky to hide important terms like that. I mean, who actually reads every single word on a web page? Come on. You and me both. But that's what the court had to decide. Did Netscape do enough to make those terms obvious? And in the end, they said, no clicking download in this case did not mean that you agreed to those hidden terms.
No way. So they sided with the users.
They did. And this is where it gets really interesting. This decision was a huge win for internet users everywhere because it meant that companies couldn't just hide their terms and conditions and assume that everyone agreed. They actually had to be clear about their terms and get real user consent.
Wow. So this means I have more power than I thought when it comes to online agreements. Just clicking download doesn't mean I've automatically signed my life away.
You got it. Specht v. Netscape was a real wake-up call for companies, and it set a major precedent for greater transparency in how we do online contracting.
This is getting good. But wait, there's more, right? I heard there's a twist to this story involving something called an arbitration clause.
Oh, there is. And that's where things get even juicier. But we'll save that for part two of our deep dive.
Okay, now you've really got me hooked.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear what happens next.
Okay, so remember how we were talking about Netscape's browser communicator? And that click-wrap agreement where you had to actively agree to the terms.
Yeah, the whole I agree to the terms and conditions checkbox thing.
Right. Well, that agreement had something called an arbitration clause tucked away in there.
Now, hold on a second. What exactly is an arbitration clause? I'm not a legal expert here.
So basically, instead of going to court if there's a dispute, an arbitration clause says you have to settle things through private arbitration. It's kind of like a mini court case, but it happens outside of the traditional legal system.
So what's the big deal with that? Why is that something people worry about?
Well, arbitration clauses can be a bit controversial because they sometimes limit your options if you have a problem with a company. For example, you might not have the same rights to appeal a decision or present evidence that you would in a regular court.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So how does this all tie back to Smart Download?
The big question was whether Netscape could try to force users to arbitrate any issues they had with Smart Download. Based on that communicator agreement, they agreed to, even though Smart Download itself wasn't mentioned anywhere in that contract.
Wait, so they were trying to apply the terms from one product to a completely different one? That doesn't seem right at all.
You're catching on. The court agreed with you. They said the communicator agreement was about communicator. It didn't have anything to do with Smart Download, so it doesn't apply here. Basically, they were saying contracts need to be specific. You can't just lump things together and expect users to be bound by terms they never saw.
Makes sense to me. So even if I click, I agree to a bunch of terms for one product, that doesn't mean the company can automatically apply those same terms to all of their other products, too.
Right, exactly. The court was very clear on that point.
Okay. So we've covered the sneaky hidden terms and the whole arbitration clause situation. What else is there to this case? I heard there was a website owner who got caught up in this whole mess.
Yes. Christopher Specht. This is where things get a little more complicated. Now, Specht himself never actually downloaded Smart Download. He was a website owner who offered software downloads on his site. And some people might have used Smart Download to download those files from his site.
So Netscape went after him, even though he wasn't a Smart Download user himself. What was their reasoning there?
Well, they argued that Specht benefited even if it was indirectly from Smart Download. They said Smart Download made it easier for people to get to his site and download his stuff, which might have helped him make some money.
So they were basically trying to use this indirect benefits argument to hold him to a contract he never even saw, let alone agreed to.
Precisely. They were really trying to stretch the definition of agreement here, but the court wasn't buying it. They said the connection was way too indirect and speculative to hold Specht to a contract he never agreed to.
That's a relief to hear. It'd be a slippery slope if companies could just claim someone benefited indirectly from a product and then hold them to some contract they never signed.
I agree. The court recognized that, and they drew a line in the sand. Specht v. Netscape was a big win for internet users because it helped ensure that contracts are actually about real agreement, not just some vague idea of indirect benefits.
This whole case is wild. I'm starting to see why it was such a landmark decision. But what does all of this mean for us today? I mean, we're constantly clicking. I agree to things online without even reading the fine print.
That's the question, isn't it? While Specht v. Netscape was a wake-up call for companies, it also highlights a big issue for all of us. In a world with endless terms and conditions, how can we make sure we're really making informed choices online?
You know, it's true. Nobody actually reads all those walls of text. But I'm realizing we can't just ignore them completely either.
You've got it. This case might be from the 90s, but it's more relevant than ever. What was considered reasonably conspicuous notice back then might not fly today. The internet is constantly changing, and so is the legal landscape around it.
Okay. So where do we go from here? How can we be more careful about our digital agreements? I'm ready for some practical tips. It's tough, though, right? I mean, it feels like we're constantly bombarded with these super long terms and conditions. It's overwhelming.
It definitely is a challenge, for sure. We want things to be easy and convenient online, but at the same time, we need to make sure we're protecting our own rights and privacy, too. It's all about finding that balance.
Yeah, I get that I should be more mindful. But realistically, how can I actually do that? I don't have time to read every single word of every online agreement.
You're right. You don't have to read every single word, but you can start by just being more aware of what you're actually agreeing to. Look out for key terms, especially things about data privacy or how they might share your information or even those pesky automatic renewals.
Good point. I should at least try to understand the main points, you know, before I just blindly click. I agree. But even then, sometimes. The language they use is so complicated and legalistic. It's like it's written in a different language.
I hear you. And that's a valid concern, for sure. But remember, the court in that Specht v. Netscape case, they emphasized reasonably conspicuous notice. Basically, companies have a responsibility to make their terms clear and understandable to the average person.
So if the terms are confusing or if they're buried in a ton of legal jargon, that's a red flag.
Definitely. If something seems off or unclear, don't be afraid to reach out to the company and ask for clarification, you know? Or heck, just walk away from the agreement altogether. You always have the right to say no.
You know what? That's actually really empowering. Knowing I have a choice and that companies can't just trick me makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
About navigating this whole online world.
Exactly. And remember, this case might be from way back in the 90s, but the principles are still just as relevant today as ever. Companies are always trying to push the boundaries of these online contracts. So it's up to us to stay informed, to be careful.
Wow, this has been a real eye-opener. Who knew a case about a little download plugin could be so important to our lives today?
It just goes to show that even the simplest actions online, like clicking download, can have real legal consequences. And understanding our rights as users is more important now than ever before.
I think I'm going to go back and actually read some of those terms and conditions now. Thanks for shedding light on this case. It's been fascinating and, dare I say, pretty juicy.
The pleasure's all mine. And remember, stay curious, keep asking questions, and always be mindful of your digital footprint out there.
That's great advice. And for our listeners out there, be sure to join us again for another deep dive into the world of internet law. Until next time.